On Tuesday. Can we sit down just for a moment? What a delight it is to have the Dalai Lama with us in Lothian region. I don't know, I think all of you here have lived and read about the Dalai Lama. His Holiness is also a character, as I found out today, who's most interesting and deals with peace and a feeling of peace and getting together. However, it's not my job to speak tonight, it's his job to speak tonight. During his speech, or during the end of his speech, some stewards will come along with you to have written questions, which he has told me he's very willing to answer. Unfortunately, you know, with 1,600 people, I guess is our count tonight, not everyone can get the question answered, but we'll do our best. Your evening, Your Holiness, to you.
Brothers, sisters, I would like to thank those people who organize this, how to say, meeting or, I don't know, gathering, and give this opportunity. I'm very happy. Then, see, my talk will be two parts. First part, I will speak about, peace. Then, the second part, I will explain something about, genuine compassion. Is it according to Buddhist explanation? So that part I will speak through my interpreter, because that can express more detail. The important matter or point my English cannot carry. So that is the second part. Then after that, the question and answer. Do you think okay? Good. Now, wherever I go and meet people, I always go with a feeling or motivation that I am one of the human beings. And one human being meeting another human being, nothing more. On the level of human being, no difference of color, or no difference of culture, no difference of faith, nothing. All are same human species. Everyone wants happiness and do not want suffering. Whether educated, uneducated, rich, poor, no matter. Even religious minded or non-believer. And feeling of I. Now very difficult to explain what is I, but explanation or without, analyze, just simply feeling of I is there. It is true. It is fact. So with that feeling, I want happiness. I do not want suffering. That is the real base of all the human development and whole our life, in individual case, whole life, is it carry with that motivation, that feeling. Now the religious practitioner, they practice religion on that basis, that feeling, that on basis of that feeling. Those extreme atheists, also they are carry their own way of life, way of thinking on that basis. So I think it's entire society or humanity, you see, goes on that basis. Now here, you see, happiness, how to achieve happiness, how to come at happiness. And certainly, now here you see, certainly, all the material comfort, material things, are no doubt very important factor for our happiness. Equally, is one of the most important things, our own attitude. If you see things sound very beautiful, very comfortable, top quality of material, if our own mental attitude, inner attitude, is something wrong, then even something is the most beautiful thing, seeing or heard, because of your own particular feeling, that external thing may not bring happiness. Instead, that may bring some irritation. Now, on the other hand, if our own inner feeling, a calm and peace and complete, tranquility or peace, that moment, even some, the bad thing, usually people regard that when that appear, may feel irritation. But even that object or that matter, cannot disturb your internal peace. So this is not, philosophical thing. If we experiment in our daily life, we can know very easily. With inner peace, difficult period, desperate situation, you can survive. No need to, to take some drug, or no need to take, tranquilizer, or no out of question, taking suicide like that. So you always remain calm, peace. So you see, the peace or happiness largely depend on our own mental attitude. Therefore, now in this modern age, everybody, rich people or poor people, everybody is trying to achieve some, genuine happiness. And 24 hours rushing. So while you are, doing like that, why not make another way or another mean to achieve happiness? So now in this, on that point, now if we investigate, what is the real mental factor which gives you more, calm and happiness? Every major religion teaches us compassion, love. Love and compassion. Of course, the just meaning of the love, compassion, very easy to understand. But this is not sufficient. That is not sufficient. But our own, within oneself, must develop compassion, love, genuine compassion and love. Then you will really get, certain value. And you will feel the valuable thing. Now, on the other hand, the most destructive resource or cause is anger. So you see, it is very clear now, nobody can say or will say that I am very happy because I get, anger. For example, now, today I'm very happy because this morning I get such a temper. Nobody say like that, isn't it? On the other hand, we can feel very easily, you see, this morning I met, you see, such my friend, which I love, which I respect, very dear to me, I met such people, therefore today I feel very happy. So you see, now they, I think you see, everybody will agree, anger is a, destructive force, or the troublemaker. The love and compassion is the real peacemaker. Now the question is, how to develop love and compassion, and how to control, how to minimize anger? Now, you see, mere prayer, or how to say, just sort of desire, I should not have anger, I must have more compassion. That kind of desire cannot work. Now, mind, consciousness, is an impermanent nature, always changing. Now, for example, the senses of organs, the external objects change, the consciousness of senses of organs also changing. Like that, you see, the things changing, our sixth mental consciousness also changing. Changing, you see, certain the brain cell, or certain, the chakra, the Sanskrit, nerve center, you see, changing certain nerve center, mainly, you see, in order to changing one's own mind, the training mind itself, that is the main cause to change our mental attitude. Now here, if you think more, if you think, constantly think, investigate, what is the positive thing, or what is negative thing about, compassion and anger? You see, investigate, towards one's own experience, as well as, some of our, friends, as well as investigate on some of our, friends, enemy alike, behave. Look, and also, if we read history, we can clearly see the most, destructive force or destructive action, destructive period happened in the past. Mainly, ultimately triggered by anger, hatred, like that. And the most, beautiful thing, the constructive good thing, generally speaking, or mainly carried by this good motivation. So, like this, investigate. It will increase one's own, conviction. The anger is within ourselves. Compassion also within ourselves. Now, because you you increase your sort of judgment or understanding the nature of these two things, or if kasore qualities re kende
yende advantages and disadvantages,
advantage and disadvantages of these two things. Naturally, you see, you will feel, you see, in compassion or love, I mean, sight of compassion and love, you feel sort of a closer feeling. The anger, hatred sight, you may feel some sort of, how to say, some kind of reservation. Then gradually you want to be a distance. So go like this. Gradually anger smaller and becoming weaker and weaker. The other side, compassion, will increase stronger and stronger. Now, and time goes, you see, within days, very difficult to achieve, but month by month, year by year, you can clearly notice one's own, you see, mental attitude. As a result, your own behavior will change. In my own case now, you see, I cannot see much differences. Today's my attitude and yesterday's my attitude, but if I compare, you see, this year's my, how to say, the way of thinking and the way, behavior, compare 5 years back or 10 years back, I can clearly notice some change. So result brings me more peace, more calm. So you see, everybody, this is the same human being. Everybody has good human brain as well as good human heart. Now question is whether we're trying to implement or not, whether we make an effort or not. So for external thing, we are making such an effort to get more money, isn't it? People usually use say time is money, money is time, like that. This is so much making effort. So that kind of effort, at least this is sometime in our daily life, make effort to improve oneself. I think that is the through that way we can change ourselves. So result, our internal, mental attitude towards, you see, external, especially towards our enemy, will change. That brings mental peace, calmness, through that practice, the lessening our anger. Anger is the real destroyer of our happiness. So from that viewpoint, enemy is not outside. The real enemy is within oneself. So now you see, that is the, I believe, the ultimately the proper way to achieve genuine world peace. You see, peace cannot achieve by force. Maybe for temporary, sometimes you see force or strength works to protect peace. But in long run, on sound basis, the peace cannot achieve by, you see, hatred, through hatred or anger. The other way, the peace, genuine peace, can achieve through mental peace. Without mental peace, very difficult to achieve world peace. So you see, many people are talking world peace. The peace is something very serious matter, especially today. The power of destruction is so great. So peace is something very important. Now, to achieve peace, how to say slogan or how to say the demonstration or like that, of course, sometimes, make work, but you see, just simply a slogan cannot achieve. So, as our individual, we are part of the world human community. By, So you see, every individual person has the responsibility. We are contributor for peace, isn't it? So you see, whether the other people are doing or not, first oneself, try our best with courage, with hope. Whether achieve or not, different matter. In any case, you see, in my own belief, I try my best. Whether achieve or not, different matter. Even achieve, that we want. If not achieve, no regret. Because I myself made every effort as much as I can. Isn't it? So now this is the... So in our daily life, try to practice internal development. That means, you see, warm heart. You know, when some other people show to us, you see, smile, warm-hearted attitude, we feel very happy, isn't it? If someone show, you see, how to say, big eye or something like, wrathful face, or going to hit, or using, the rough word or how to say, rude word, we feel something bad, isn't it? So, you see, realization of that one's own experience, copy to other, or how to say, realize one's own experience, and we should show other people this warm feeling and kind attitude. We have to restrain this anger and hatred. And another reason, you see, we show anger or hatred. Due to ignorance, we believe let go anger, let come anger. It's almost like, you see, anger, almost like, you see, acting protector. There's something going to hurt on you. So anger comes as your helper, as your protector. In reality, that's very little help. Under certain circumstances, if someone going to hurt on you, unreasonably, under certain circumstances, in reality, you have to react. You have to counter-react accordingly. But that action can take without anger. That is much effective, because, you see, when anger occupied our main mind, then you see the one of the best human quality is the judgment. Investigate, takse jarwa, judgment. That power will destroy by anger. When anger occupied our main mind, that person almost become half mad. You see, mad person cannot take right decision. That's obvious. So you see, without anger, sharp-minded, calm mind, with that condition, you can take, you see, best decision. If necessary to take counter action, you can take. You see, with a sincere motivation, reasonable motivation. Especially, you see, in the Western society, too much competitive society. That time, sometimes, you see, very necessary to countermeasure. But that measure you see, without anger, without hated feeling, simply is reasonable, a right kind of attitude. So I usually, you know, I mean jokingly told his audience that though, you see, anger, anger comes due to selfish motivation. Now, but the selfish motivation created anger. Ultimately, anger brings destruction or failure. Therefore, and also, you see, due to selfish motivation, the result, you create more enemy because of your anger. Other side, maybe a selfish motivation. It's just sincere, attitude, and no anger, no violence, ultimately bring more friends, less enemy. So therefore, if you want a real selfish, then should be a wise selfish, should not make you foolish selfish, isn't it? So you see, now this is the question of, this is not question of religious practice. This is nothing, nothing special for believer. This is, I believe, this is something for everybody. I mean, important, something important for everyone. Because, you see, everyone wants happiness, peace. Peace comes from mental tranquility. Mental tranquility comes from love and compassion. Now, this is my main talk. Then I will speak something. Then,
love, compassion, as I was saying before, all religious systems set forth and explain about the importance of love and compassion. And especially in Christianity, there is a great deal of emphasis on the importance of love and compassion, and that if one is, for instance, it's said if one is struck on, what is it, in one cheek, one is to turn the other cheek. Similarly, it is said that in Buddhism, the basis of all of the teaching is compassion. In general, compassion is the type of consciousness that is cognizant of others' suffering and wishes that they be freed from or separated from that suffering. Thus, in Buddhism, it's a type of consciousness that is not viewing other people as lower than oneself, pitying them in that sense, but is viewing people as undergoing suffering and wishing that they be free from that suffering. Within the types of compassion, there's one type which is a form of wishful thinking, in which one is just thinking how nice it would be if beings were free from suffering, or may they be free from suffering. And then the other type of compassion is one in which oneself is intends to protect other beings from suffering.
다드네 닝지티 라 가소르프게 남배슝 나로네 다 닝지 냠네 제연디 닝지 쿵베 동야래야 닝지 민놈 쫑 지고기 미쳐봐 싫어고 냠네 거 타네 닝지 쿵베 당고요.
Now, in the Buddhist way, in order to develop and increase one's compassion, it cannot be done merely through observing that other beings are suffering and wishing that they be free from suffering. One needs assistance from the faculty of wisdom. Then through the assistance of wisdom or intelligence, investigation, there come to be three different types of compassion. One is compassion that is observing merely sentient beings or people that are suffering. The second type is compassion observing beings who are understood to be impermanent. And the third type is compassion observing beings who are understood to be without inherent existence. In this way, wisdom serves to enhance compassion, which is also called method, and compassion serves to enhance wisdom. The one helping to increase the other. Now, in order to increase compassion to its infinite extent, wisdom is very necessary. First, it's necessary in order to engage in the investigation to determine that it is possible to increase compassion to a limitless extent. And then wisdom is needed in order to bring about that increase itself.
Just, I remember something, now forget.
So then how does one practice compassion? First, it is helpful for the initial generation of compassion to take cognizance of some beings that are manifestly suffering. This can be done either through imagining beings that are suffering or through going to some place or area where beings are manifestly suffering and observing them.
When
it appears to your mind clearly how much these beings are suffering, then you can reflect that just as you don't want suffering and do want happiness, so these beings don't want suffering and do want happiness. And out of that, out of this investigation, will come a strong thought wishing that these beings be free from suffering. Then the process is to extend that, the range of your field of compassion, to more and more beings, realizing that just as you yourself are not satisfied even with bigger happinesses, we even want little ones, so these other beings are not satisfied even with bigger happinesses, but even want little ones. And in this way, extend to more and more and more beings the wish that they be free from suffering.
Now,
in terms of Buddhist philosophy and its application to the development of compassion, within Buddhism, the highest system of philosophy is considered to be that of the Madhyamaka school, and within that, the Prasangika division of the Madhyamaka school. Now, as a person initially practicing, that person has the ignorance that in the Madhyamaka system is considered to be the root of all troubles. And that ignorance is mixed in with one's compassion. However, this does not mean that one should give up the practice of compassion. Rather, that very compassion that is mixed with this fundamental ignorance and is often mixed with attachment and desire, that compassion is to be used and developed and to be made more pure and pure.
Now,
in Tibet, we say that the Dalai Lama is an incarnation of Genrezi, or in Sanskrit, Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara, when you get down to the final meaning, the definitive meaning, that Avalokiteshvara is not a god, but is the ultimate development of compassion.
God of mercy is meant that.
So then all of us have within our own mental continuums now the substances that can turn into this fully developed compassion, which when it is conjoined with an omniscient consciousness, we can call the God of compassion. So that's probably it.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama, whom we've all heard about since we're young. I'm only here from the Lothian region to represent the people when the Dalai Lama comes. It's impossible, of course, for him to meet every one of you. And I understand that the steward should be getting us just now some questions that some of you would like to ask personally to His Holiness, and I can see them coming through in some areas. But while they're bringing them up to us, when you feel about it, we've all felt for Tibet in its time. We've felt for the Dalai Lama. I think we've all seen his time when he exited from Tibet. But what an excitement to have the person here. First time in Scotland. Beautiful. Anyway, we're getting the first of the questions coming through. I think you'll read them out, right? Okay.
You are quoted as, you have been quoted as saying that there will not be another Dalai Lama because the search would be impossible. Probably means impossible to go to Tibet to search for the next Dalai Lama. What do you believe will be the consequences for your religion and for the world?
That question, something involved, I think, some connection with politics. Now, you see, although I prefer not discuss or not say politics. Now here, I make that statement that whether the institution of Dalai Lama may or may not continue entirely dependent on the wishes of Tibetan people. This statement I made in 1969. Nature of Tibetan problem is the 6 million Tibetan people's problem, not Dalai Lama's problem. So whether Dalai Lama institution or whether Dalai Lama institution may or may not, that's a different matter, different question. So long people there not get complete satisfaction, the problem is there. I tried to make clear picture about the nature of the struggle or problem. Then you see, as a Buddhist, our attitude for everything is flexible. We are, concerned the benefit, not the method or the system. If any system or any method, something valid, something useful, then should keep. If not much use, then will cease automatically. And no use to try to preserve. If circumstances such that the Dalai Lama institution is no more useful, then it will, then no use to try to continue. Now this is the main reason, not the reason that searching party, some kind of impossible making searching party, not that question. So, if Dalai Lama institution is something useful, then next Dalai Lama will come, and searching party, not at all difficult to find. Not necessarily come to Tibet or come India, but in everywhere is possible to happen. Now, for example, one of the previous Dalai Lama, the fourth Dalai Lama, was not Tibetan, Mongolian. So in the future, maybe a Western Dalai Lama, possible. That's not much differences.